Hello everyone and welcome back to a more thoughtful, more historically accurate episode of Experience Kills. I am your host Ben, with me, my partner in crime, my balded wonder, it's Richard.
I'm not a balded wonder, I haven't had a shave for a while actually. I really need to sort myself out, but hello to you and everyone
else. So it sounds like you might be looking in sort of in character, in keeping with the setting of the game we're looking at today, which is A Plague Tale, colon, gotta have a colon, Innocence, brought to us by Azobo Studio and Focus Home Interactive. And we were doing some research just before we started recording, trying to find out what Azobo have done before, because it's a name we kind of both recognised, but it doesn't seem like they've ever led a big project, at least not on this generation, have they?
Well, ReCore. I immediately recognised them for ReCore because I was big into that game. I appreciate I was probably the only person who was, but I really liked ReCore, and I think they led on that. Looking at their list of games, though, it looks as if they've been involved in loads of stuff that you wouldn't imagine. So Quantum Break is on that list. All sorts of big titles, not necessarily critically acclaimed, but you know, lots of Disney projects. It appears that they are guns for hire, and they work a lot on the fringes of projects rather than leading them themselves.
One of the cool things I saw is that they've actually put out a couple of games on HoloLens.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre, because that's not even a retail thing.
Yeah, they've done a Conker game, Young Conker. Did you see that?
Yeah. No, I didn't see that. So, I mean, the reason we're talking about this is because A Plague Tale is a very ambitious project for a studio that isn't necessarily known for leading studios, and I mean leading games. And it's really cool to see this game that's come out, you know, it's a full price release and it's getting kind of released at exactly the same time as a big release from Bethesda, which is Rage 2. And it couldn't be any more different from an open world first person shooter. It literally is a great piece of counter sort of releasing here from this game, because it's such an interesting experience. And I know, Richard, you've been looking into it a little bit in preparation for this. So I'll just jump in with a brief overview of what we've got with A Plague Tale. So basically, we're set in like 10th century, 11th century France, so medieval ages around the beginning of the Hundred Years' War with England. And it's probably worth mentioning that Azobo are a French developer. So that makes sort of sense that we've got this setting. And it feels, the first thing you get with the setting, it starts off in this beautiful forest. You're playing the main character, which is Amicia. She's like a teenage girl. And the visuals, you know, I'm playing on an Xbox One X, HDR up, you know, full 4K and all that sort of stuff. And it just looks incredible. Like, the environments aren't massive, they're not huge open world, so they can really focus on the visual fidelity, the way the light looks coming through the trees. And it becomes a kind of an important part of the game, is the way it is visually presented, because of the journey that you go on with the characters. Amicia, obviously, who's the player character, but most importantly and very quickly, you get introduced to her little brother, Hugo. And this game is all about their... It's difficult because it's very much a narrative game, very much a story game, so I don't want to spoil anything, because it's all about experiencing this for the first time as you go through it. But it's about their journey of survival through France during this time of conflict, of Inquisition, and of, most importantly, horrific, disturbing, horrifying plague, which is virtually represented by rats. Like, a lot of rats. Like, up to 5,000 rats on the screen at once.
It's horrendous.
Yeah. It's so disturbing, Richard, at times, honestly. And I mean, this, I don't think that's a spoiler. It happens in like the first two or three chapters of the game, where you get this introduction to this creeping, crawling evil that can come out of any orifice around you at any time, pretty much. And the game, the gameplay is kind of like, it's quite varied. It actually surprised me, because it very much starts off as a stealth sort of action game, but it then, depending on the chapter you're playing, very much changes what its focus is. So it might be that you're creeping through long grasses to avoid, you know, the French Inquisition type troops, where you think they're French, or the British army that are hunting you for some reason, though I won't spoil why, and you're trying to stealth around them and distract them. Or it then changes to more direct combat, because Alicia is very effective with a sling, which you can use in combat situations. And in addition to that, you have this sort of buddy mechanic, which is almost reminiscent of something like Brothers, but you don't directly control Hugo. You can kind of give him orders and at context-sensitive points tell him to do certain things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he follows you around, he's often holding your hand, sometimes actually, much like a little brother might, you know, running off ahead of you and, you know, getting distracted by things, you know, which is a great way of creating tension. And it forges this bond between these two characters incredibly well. And you really feel like it's a realistic portrayal of a brother-sister relationship, especially at that age where, you know, she hasn't got to know her little brother very much. He's been kept, for certain reasons, sequestered away from her while he's grown up.
Yeah.
But she's forced to then become his main protector. And it's about them getting to know each other. And obviously the effects of, you know, what's happening around them on their relationship. It's very hard to talk about this without spoilers, but it's really well done. It's really well handled and well written, yeah. So that's kind of the concept. I mean, the idea is that, you know, in a nutshell, you're playing as Amicia, you're trying to survive, you're trying to stealth, sometimes action your way through situations, sometimes just run for your freaking lives, which is really well done, actually, when it's like the enemies just decide, nah, enough is enough, we're going to just kill your ass, and you're just sprinting to try and get away from them, maybe to jump onto a boat or to get through a certain doorway or something like that, and it creates these peaks and troughs of tension, of stress and relief in an incredibly well-structured thing. Because the game is broken into these chapters. None of them are that long. And you feel like the way I've been playing it was playing a chapter or two per sitting. And they each feel like they're a sort of a little story in themselves. I mean, not separate, but they feel definitely defined between each other. And yeah, that's where you get the load into the next environment. And then within that chapter, there are no loads. Yeah, Richard, obviously I've got more to talk about, but have you got anything you'd like to ask at this juncture?
Just a few observations from what I've seen, and I am really keen to play it. It looks right up my street. But you mentioned it evokes Brothers to you. To me, it looks a lot more like The Last of Us. So that idea that you've got another character that's with you, that's helping you out, that you don't directly control, that was very much Ellie's role in The Last of Us. And it seems this takes on that sort of tone, but with a generational shift. So instead of the adult caring for the child, it's now a child caring for a much younger child, and the innocence that brings to how the environment is passed is a really interesting take. I thought there was a bit that I saw where Hugo is looking at bodies hung up with arrows in them, and he's talking to his sister, visibly upset about how the men have got sticks in their tummies, and you just think, oh, poor lad.
It's actually quite disturbing to think about some of the visuals. I mean, something I want to talk about, the main sort of theme in a game called Plague Tale, unsurprisingly, is death.
Yeah.
So it's death is all around you all the time. A couple of scenes come to mind from early in the game, one especially, where the Inquisition have dealt with livestock to prevent spread of the plague by just murdering every cow and pig they could find and piling them up in this sort of farm environment you have to get through. So it's just this like open air abattoir of thousands of corpses just rotting in the open air around you, and you can't smell it because it's a video game, but you almost feel like you can. The visuals are so high quality, the way the characters react are so realistic, that it's absolutely repulsive. And seriously oppressive. And then the other really important way that death is personified in the game is with the rats, so when they come out, or when you are attacked by them, they are only held at bay by light and fire. So they will surround you in the pools of darkness all around you with their glowing red eyes, just hungering and ravening to tear you apart. And you'll see them tear apart other things around you. You can often use things like hanging meat or corpses to distract them by dropping them into them. Later on, a mechanic comes into play, and this is another element of how death is dealt with, when, say, enemy soldiers patrolling with lanterns will come towards you when there are rats around, and you can destroy their lanterns so the rats kill them.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cold.
It's horrific. Yeah. It's absolutely horrific. And the weight of causing these deaths on Amicia and on Hugo, who witnesses most of it, it really affects her, and it really affects him, and it affects their relationship in very interesting and, I think, very realistic ways, because obviously she's forced into this guardian role. And I think this is the big difference between, you mentioned Last of Us, is that you aren't Joel. You aren't a hard-bitten, person who's been out there surviving, for tens of years. Mm. You're this young teenage girl that's come from a very privileged upbringing, forced into this position, and it really damages you. It really damages the player. It makes you think about the cost of this, and it also clearly affects her and Hugo for witnessing. And she's often saying things like, "Oh, just try and ignore it, Hugo. Just don't look." But that's all she can do. But he does get really severely affected, and it plays into the reason why he's being hunted. It all connects. They are very much connected to the plague in interesting ways. They aren't just people on the outside dealing with this. There is a core reason that these things are happening to them. I'm being incredibly vague, and I know that's frustrating. Trust me, it's just as frustrating for me. But it's a truly interesting and different take on video game combat, especially. And there are bits later where in the game where you get in these combat situations, and death starts to come easier to Amicia. So, causing it and seeing it starts to become the norm.
Goes through a bit of a Lara Croft arc, does she?
I think it's handled so much better. Oh my god, it feels so much more realistic. Yeah. It feels and that's impressive considering we're talking about a game set in the 1100s. Yeah. All this time ago, this is a really out there setting. If you think about it, you're talking about a setting that's best part of 1,000 years ago, and yet it feels more grounded and realistic than anything you get from Tomb Raider. There are fantastical elements. The whole idea of the plague of rats is not realistic, because that's never really happened to that scale. Obviously, rats were very much a part of spreading plagues and a problem with plagues. Black Death comes to mind in Great Britain and things like that. But they weren't these quasi-supernatural...
It wasn't swarms and not swarms of rats eating people. It was the disease that they spread through droppings and whatever, wasn't it? So does that get tiresome at any point? I watched extended gameplay videos of this, and the rats never go away. It reminded me a lot of... I forget which one it was, Uncharted 2 or 3. There's a sequence where there's spiders swarming around you, and they're only... deflected by light. It looks very similar to how they swarm around and like spill from gaps in walls, but obviously a lot more of it. So how much of a reprieve do you get? Is it just constant?
So they're very, I mentioned the chapter structure, they're very smart about the different chapters offering you different sort of scenarios. So, one chapter will all be about avoiding, the Inquisition that are hunting you. So it's heavy on stealth, distraction mechanics, things like that. Another chapter will be all about, say, surviving. You've got trapped in a crypt and you're surrounded by the rats, and it's all about light, using light, doing some puzzle solving, working out how to illuminate rooms, how to protect yourself as you find your way through it. A third chapter will be about, you're mostly just being chased. So you're running and you're thinking quickly on your feet about best ways of evading enemies. And then another chapter will be, you're just basically, there's a lot more combat in here. It's less about stealth. Stealth will often break down very quickly. And then you're getting your sling out and you're, trying to hit, dudes in the head with rocks, basically. And you can very easily see what, I mean, the game is very well designed, and you can immediately tell what different scenarios require kind of what sort of mentality, because often if you're doing a stealth section, a lot of the enemies will have metal helmets on, which means your sling isn't going to be effective. So don't even try and use that. But then in the combat areas, you know, they'll think, you know, here's a bunch of enemies without helmets almost. So you could, it telegraphs how best to deal with it and signpost things. So you never feel frustrated. Yeah, the levels are quite short, very well checkpointed. And of course, in a stealth game or a game with heavy on stealth elements, the main way the player is punished for failure is death, which obviously can become frustrating. But because the frequent checkpointing and the quick loads, at least on the Xbox One X, which is where I played it, it never becomes too much of a pain in the ass. And you almost always know, you know, what you need to do. It's just a case of pulling it off quickly or effectively in any given situation. You know, I found the difficulty level and the variety of those chapters was really satisfying, actually. Yeah. And obviously everything, and I'm always the guy who loves the narratives, loves the stories in video games, and everything is tied around this very compelling central relationship and unfolding story about the nature of the plague and about your part in it. And it makes you want to continue and want to continuously push forward and see what comes next.
That definitely came across in what I've seen. Just, you know, I've only watched a few videos on my phone, like, but even doing that, you could really feel that the strength of that relationship was something that could sustain through a long interactive experience. So I would be interested to play this. Let's talk about production values a bit, because my experience of this studio is ReCore, as I said earlier. That was infamously shonky looking. I think it was actually revived from an old N64 or GameCube project. Which kind of explained that. This looks a lot more refined. I don't think it's up there with the AAA studio production values, so it doesn't look like Last of Us. But it's getting there, isn't it? It looks as if some of the animations are a little bit wooden.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, environmental design, environmental graphical fidelity, textures and things are incredible. Like, the lighting, it just is stunning. The way it plays into, obviously, into gameplay with light and dark, it just, all of that comes together really nicely. However, yeah, the animations on, say, lip syncing, not the best. It's difficult to get right. Most studios, to be honest, don't get it. Even in AAA, and it's not brilliant. Voice acting is, for the most part, very good. However, I actually found, like, the recording sometimes quality, or how it's, you know, the audio is actually played back. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but sometimes it's not the easiest to hear well. It's not always, doesn't always quite sound right for the environment that they're in. So reverb or echo doesn't always sound as it should if they're in an open environment or in a crypt. Do you know what I'm getting at? It's hard to describe. I'm not an audio professional, but yeah, it doesn't sound quite right. The other thing I thought was a bit weird is there's a crafting mechanic in this game, and it feels pretty unnecessary. So when you're walking around these environments, you can find crafting materials like leather and saltpeter and stuff like that. And there are elements of the crafting which become important to gameplay, such as you can craft things that can light things on fire, or ignite flame, which is of course very important when you're dealing with the rats. However, doing things like upgrading your sling, upgrading your carrying capacity, that feels like it's a fair enough idea, but it doesn't really sit necessarily in this game. It's not the end of the world, but I would have thought just some kind of narrative reason for upgrading as you progress through the game would have actually been easier than trying to find crafting materials.
It gives it to you in a cutscene as you go, rather.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, I found a better piece of leather to make my sling more effective.
Yeah.
Blah blah. You know. Instead, there is a bit of give and take about finding crafting materials. Like, do I use these on one use consumables, or do I try and save them up to upgrade? And to be honest, my choice was always, I'm going to use them on the consumables, because if I need to set something on fire so I don't get eaten by rats, I'm going to do that rather than try and save it to upgrade my sling or my pocket. Do you know what I mean? So that felt a little bit strange and not necessarily set at home in this game. I just didn't think it was important. Like, it didn't really have much effect on gameplay and didn't feel had no reason for it in the narrative, you know, or anything like that. So it's a bit strange. Could have done without that.
That's probably where it's taken its cues from elsewhere. I mean, we talked about The Last of Us. I think that was in The Last of Us, wasn't it? Crafting holsters and stuff.
Oh, big time. That was all about crafting weapons on the fly, wasn't it? So that you could deal with threats and shivs and stuff. It almost feels like an idea that came from early in production, and that's just somehow hung around. Like, it feels like it was an idea, you know, when a game designer was like, right, it's going to be more heavily on the crafting, it's going to be really important. Yeah. And then as the game has come along, it's sort of, the scope of it has been cut back and back and back until it's this weird, like, vestigial idea that doesn't really have a place in it. It's not bad. The mechanic works fine. It doesn't hamper the game in any way. It just feels slightly incongruous when you're walking around an environment, you know, it's full of bad guys or the rats in nearby, and you're just going, hold on a second, I just need to look in this chest to see if there's any leather in it. 2 secs. Just wait there. It's fine.
I kind of get that. I mean, I suppose the important thing is not the crafting itself, but the way in which you get the materials for it. So if there's a risk reward element to you having to venture down a rat infested corridor to pick up some leather or whatever it is, I don't know, are there elements in the game where you think, right, it's worth me taking that risk right now, or do the materials just sort of fall in your lap?
I was playing it with the wife watching the other night, and she's, for God's sake, you're being chased by all these English soldiers, you don't have to pick up every little thing in the environment. I'm like, yes I do. I might need them later.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the problem, it just doesn't feel realistic to the characters or the plight they're in. Would not be doing that, they would be pissing themselves and running for their lives.
Yeah.
And trying to get through each of these threat filled situations.
So those materials they're not best placed then, really. I don't have a problem with that mechanic, but you'd hope that they fitted in thematically with what the characters are doing. Yeah, you're right.
It's not terrible, but it sometimes can break the tension a little bit. And the other thing that breaks the tension, I mentioned it, is the deaths. I don't know how else you punish gameplay failure in a stealth game other than basically one hit kills, which is what, you know, happens to you when a soldier gets you, because you're a teenage girl with no combat experience or armor, he's got a massive sword, you're gonna die. However, it's a shame because the game is so well designed around these high tension release moments that when you just get killed and you hit a game over screen and have to restart from a checkpoint, sometimes multiple times if it's a difficult moment, it just pulls you completely out of that narrative experience. I'm not sure what the solution is, because if you just remove punishment for failure, what where's your game?
I'm not sure there's a way around that. I mean, I don't see that as a problem personally.
What it is when you're playing the game and you know, you don't die that often. Some chapters you'll never die because it's not what that moment is about, but in others there'll be a much more of the sort of punishing stealth mechanics, and it's a shame because you'll have a flow going and you'll be in a flow state, you'll be really locked into those characters. You know, you'll be really caring about what happens and want to see what happens next, and then boom, you know, death restart, and it just slightly affects the emotion of the experience, which is so well conveyed in this.
Maybe you should just get good.
I probably should just get good, now you mention it. Yeah, I should suck less. You know, I mean, the way some games deal with this is like they'll have an option, won't they? Do you want to just play the narrative experience difficulty mode?
Yeah.
This game, though, for the most part, is not like super hard. It's just sometimes you need to work out, you know, the order of things to do and when to do them and how to do them. You know, the stealth, I've definitely played harder stealth games. It is not that punishing. It's actually quite forgiving.
I was going to say the same. It looked almost too forgiving, like with some of the stuff that I saw where you're creeping around stealing actual flaming torches from people and able to creep off without them noticing. It's obviously quite forgiving in that.
It is. There's quite a few different mechanics about causing distractions as well. And then as the game goes on, you get more of a direct combat way of dealing with enemies when they kind of rush up on you or catch you out unawares. And that does play into the crafting mechanic because it uses up certain resources. You can basically set it so that you do a one hit or a one attempt escape move. For getting caught in a situation, but it's actually costly on your resources. So it's maybe not something you want to do, so it's sort of something you need to then balance out, and that plays into the crafting element a bit more. However, I'm not sure I agree with that choice, but you know, that there is an element there of that as well. But look, I think we've I'm going to come to the end on this a little bit and see if you've got any final questions. But, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, we've talked about a few minor negatives now, but A Plague Tale is a triumph. I absolutely love this game. It's unlike pretty much anything else I've played in a long time. It's got this great, strong narrative, this unique setting. I'm not normally someone that likes stealth games, but I think it's balanced well so that to the point where it never feels like a huge hurdle to get through those types of scenarios. And really, you know, makes sense for your characters. They're not all about flipping. They haven't got covered in armor with big swords. You know, you're a small girl protecting your little brother, and there'll be other characters that show up throughout as well. And that all plays into this really unique gameplay experience and this beautiful visual fidelity that we have from these, you know, this studio I didn't really know as Oboe, you know. So it's a true triumph for them. And I think if you're not in the mood for a big open world shooter in the form of Rage 2, this is something really, really interesting, unique, and fun experience, compelling. You really want to push through it and find out what happens next.
I'm sold.
Is there anything you'd like me to answer?
Couple bits. I just wanted to say, stealth games for me are not the, you know, they're not top of my list of genres. But I think what works really well is when what you're hiding from is actually terrifying. That's why Last of Us worked for me. It didn't feel onerous to be skulking around for longer than you would like in that experience. And this looks similar. It looks like it would be absolutely terrifying trying to creep through these rats. So that looks great.
I just want to mention one thing as well. Like, you know, when you do get into combat in this game, for a game that's focused on stealth, that combat is really good. Like the sling mechanics, how you have to wind up a shot and how you target with it.
It does look really good. It looks like it's got real heft behind those rock throws.
Surprisingly effective, yeah. And the thing is, it's always terrifying to use as well, because you might have like a dude running at you with his sword, you know, above his head, about to decapitate you basically.
Yep.
And you know, you're trying to line up this headshot and time it with enough accuracy and power that it will drop him with one hit.
Yeah.
And so every time you do it, it feels like a last resort, and it feels incredibly scary. No, it does a really good job, like you mentioned, of the tension. The one thing I mentioned, you keep drawing these parallels to Last of Us. Hugo is not invisible like Ellie was. So you can leave him places. You can specifically tell him to stay somewhere and then do something by yourself. But if you leave him by himself too long, he gets scared, and then he'll like run out and get caught, or cause, you know, you to get caught as well. So you do have him, you know, held by the hand. But yeah, he is somebody who can get eaten by rats, for example, if you accidentally leave him in the wrong place and the rats come in and the light fades and stuff like
horrible.
That. So yeah.
That's horrible.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's not invisible like Ellie was. He's really there. For better or worse. But I think that the levels are designed, you know, they're much tighter than The Last of Us. So you know, they aren't these big open environments as such.
Yeah.
Some of the levels are quite, you know, there's quite a bit of width and breadth to them, but they're not like a big open world. So yeah, these things don't happen accidentally. You know, you need to be thinking your way through a lot of the environments, and they're designed in a way in which that's totally possible. No, I really like this game. This game is awesome. It's really cool and different, and highly recommend it.
Well,
highly, highly recommend.
Thanks,
it.
Ben. I wouldn't have heard of that otherwise. No, that's another one on my list that I've got to pay for. Thank you.
No, not a problem at all, Richard. That is what I'm here for. So that's been another really long episode, actually, of Experience Kills. But I think this is an interesting game with lots of interesting mechanics that definitely warrants the discussion. And that was A Plague Tale : Innocence. That's by As Oboe and Focus Home Interactive, and is available, if you're listening to this or watching this, it's available right now on Xbox One, PS4, PC. You know, the usual places. And we have been Experience Kills. Please like and subscribe to us on the YouTube channel. You can obviously also listen to these, especially if it's a long one like this. And you can listen to these instead of watching a video on iTunes, on Spotify, or in anything that takes a raw RSS feed. You can obviously find us on Twitter as well, at Experience Kills. And you can find me at DIYE. Richard, where can they find you?
Hi, Matt. Colonel Red on Twitter.
Fantastic. And yeah, we'll be back soon with more video game discussion. I hope you enjoyed that episode. So for now, I bid you adieu.
Goodbye.